In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So Team Grace, for this Easter Sunday, what I'd like to do is first speak about the virtue of hope. And I'd like to highlight one of the sacramentals, very important sacramentals of the church. So first, what does it mean to have hope? It seems as if it's a rare virtue today. A lot of people just don't have hope. They look at the world scene, they look at their finances, their health, they look at failed or difficult relationships in their lives, and they've just given up hope. They don't think that anything could ever get better. There's no purpose in it. I think there's a reason why the whole zombie genre has become very important in the contemporary world, because regrettably so many people can relate to zombies, because perhaps that's what they feel like. They're just going through the motions, doing what has to be done, but they've lost hope. Now, in order for us to retrieve hope, we have to understand what it truly is, because there are some people who want to energize a false sense of hope. Hope means that I believe in myself. No, it doesn't. That's why we're so disappointed, right? Hope means I believe in the human spirit. That's not true either. That just leads to desolation. Because as a fallen humanity, we will always disappoint ourselves. We will always disappoint one another. One of our former presidents wrote a book, The Audacity of Hope. And he claims in the book that that's what we have to do. We have to rally the human spirit and once again believe in ourselves and we can go forward. That's not hope. That's arrogance. I can do it. We can do it. But there's someone missing from that picture, which is the reason why that false hope always leads us to desolation and to some among us, even despair. So what is hope? Well, truth be told, dear friends, until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we couldn't really have hope. Because hope is the realization of eternity. Hope is the understanding of heaven. Hope is trusting in God, not in ourselves. In fact, as fallen human beings, we should have a healthy suspicion of ourselves. There's a reason why the scriptures tell us the gospel turns the fallen world right side up. That means in our fallenness, when we have a thought or an idea, we should do the exact opposite and ask for the grace of God to do it. I'm going to give it to this person. I'm going to show them. Whoop, turn it upside down. I'm going to be merciful and kind to that person. Ooh, I'm going to need the grace of God to do that, right? We turn the fallen world right side up. Because it's fallen. And we should understand that in the fallen world, we're not getting things right on our own devices. We can't hope in ourselves. We should have that healthy suspicion of ourselves. Because oftentimes, we are not inclined to worship God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are inclined to worship the false god of me, myself, and I. Healthy suspicion. Our hope should be placed in God. It is the workings of his grace and the goodness of his providence that takes care of us, that brings forth change. The more we trust in God, the more we can be instruments of his grace, of his peace in the midst of the world. But if we're stopping the workings of grace, no, because we can do it, we're just messing things up. We're trying to put a Band-Aid on a terrible wound. And Band-Aids don't stop that level of blood. We keep thinking we can do it, right? In our own lives, we do this. We do this as a human family, right? And we don't let God in. But as soon as we open up the door and we let God begin to be a part of this and we hope in God, suddenly his grace is working. We can become instruments of his power. We can become instruments of his mercy. And suddenly we begin to understand what hope really is. In the risen Christ, we have been given hope. There is no reason why a Christian believer should ever allow desolation, disappointment, or despair to enter into their hearts. We have been made for glory. We are a people of hope. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. We have to just claim that. We have to understand that. So many of us, we allow ourselves to live, to think, to act as unbelievers, as if we have not been enlightened by the gospel. As if we have not been born again in baptism. As if the grace of God is not within us. When you live as the unbeliever, and you think as the unbeliever, You have the desolation of the unbeliever. But we who trust in Jesus Christ, who hope in God, we, the sons and daughters of the resurrection, we have been given hope. Hope. And that's a powerful gift that we need to hold on to. As much as this fallen world wants to steal and rob our hope, we hold on to hope because it was purchased for us at a tremendous price. The torture and the death of the eternal Son of God. That we might be wakened up. That we might realize the dignity we have as the children of God. And to understand the workings of God's providence. His love, His concern, His care for us. His desire to walk with us. To show us His tenderness and His compassion. But He can't do that if we keep leaving Him out. I got this. I can figure it out. I'm good. I live in the real world. I got to get this right. Go ahead, fallen man. Go ahead. Show God how you can do it. Huh. Or you can humble yourself and watch how God can do it. And there is glory with God. There is hope that is found in God. In the resurrection of our Lord, we were given hope. Hope is a realization that all of this leads to eternity. There is heaven waiting for those who love God. And that He will guide us through the darkness into eternity. That means all the suffering, the heartache, the brokenness, the disappointments, all the things that this fallen world throw at us, none of those have the last word. The unbeliever thinks those are the last words. That's why their spirits are crushed. Huh? Why they walk around as zombies. Huh? We are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of the resurrection, but they are zombies. Huh? Because we understand that all of this leads us to eternity, to a happiness and a beatitude we cannot imagine. St. Paul says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. And once we have that reality of heaven, then everything is seen in the light of eternity. We can say everything is relativized by eternity. Because if I have this hurt, this harm, this heartbreak, that little bit accounts to nothing in light of eternity. And there is no suffering, no brokenness, no injury or harm that heaven cannot heal, that God's grace cannot restore. Once we understand that, dear friend, it makes all the crosses and the sufferings of life worth it. Because we don't keep expecting a heaven on earth. That's foolishness. That is the delusion of the unbeliever. Huh? We understand that heaven is heaven, and this is a fallen world, and we are called to carry our cross with the Lord, working out our salvation by His grace so that one day we might share eternity with Him. All of this points us to heaven. The Christian way of life is about heaven, and it is there with the reality of heaven that we can understand the hope that has been given to us. And the hope that we are called to claim. The hope we are called to fan into flame within us. When there's bereavement over the loss of a loved one. When there's disappointment in a failed marriage. When there is betrayal by people that we trust. When there is financial difficulty that seems crushing. When there are health issues and confusion and fear. And the list goes on. It's a fallen world, dear friends. When all those things try to come in and steal that hope, we can cast them out because we know that our Lord is risen and the resurrection has trumped and triumphed all of that suffering. And heaven awaits those who love God. That is the gift that we have received in our risen Christ, in our Good Shepherd. And I pray that in your own discipleship, you claim the hope that has been won for you. Once you begin to understand the hope that has been given in the resurrection, we can appreciate this beautiful sacramental called the Paschal Candle. Oftentimes, Catholics will see the Paschal Candle and they don't even realize what it is. So what is that? I don't know, it's a big candle. Why is it so big? I don't know, so we can all see it? Some of the Catholics don't realize that the Easter season, which is from Easter day, 50 days until Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to us at Pentecost, 50 days that Paschal Candle is placed by the ambo, by the pulpit. Oftentimes Catholics don't realize that. Yeah, no, sometimes it's by the pulpit. I'm not sure why it's here, it's there, whatever. Why is it the Mother Church places the Paschal candle by the ambo, by the pulpit, where the gospel is proclaimed? What does this candle represent? Well, based on what we just spoke about, it begins to become obvious. First of all, the candle is large because it reminds us that everything else in this world is small compared to the resurrection of Christ. It stands tall, it's a light, because it reminds us that Christ is our light. He is our good shepherd. He walks us through the darkness. That the fallen world will take us through the dark valleys, but he will be with us. He will guide us through them. This Paschal candle is a reminder to us that Christ is our light. We keep looking for other lights in this world. They will all fail and disappoint us, but we look to Christ, and the Paschal candle reminds us of that. It further reminds us of the candle that we all received in our baptisms. Last night at the Easter Vigil, we actually even hand out candles, little candles, reminders of the candle that we received at baptism. Next Easter, we're going to do it at the 9 and the 11. Oh yeah, it's going to be a mess, wax everywhere, huh? But you don't have a Catholic parish until it smells like burnt wax and incense. Next year, I want you to actually be holding a small candle, be reminded that this candle represents the candle you received at baptism, because in baptism, you were born again in Christ. You were born into hope. You were born and given the inheritance of heaven. You were claimed by God our Father and adopted by him and became a member of his family. And the Paschal candle reminds us of that, and it's placed here during the Easter season as we hear once again the good news proclaimed from this pulpit, from this ambo. And so the Paschal candle is placed here for the 50 days of Easter. And I want you to understand the significance of this Paschal candle. So that as you come to Mass during the Sundays of the Easter season, you see the Easter candle, whatever's happening in your life, you can allow Christ, our light, to fulfill your joy and to heal your heartaches. You can look at this candle and be reminded, Christ is my light, Christ is my hope. I've always known this as a believer, but I'll tell you where this became crashingly clear to me. It was many years ago as a seminarian when I was in Rome. I went up to Poland in order to visit the Auschwitz concentration camp. I have a strong devotion to St. Maximilian Kolbe. We've spoken about him here at our parish. He's one of our statues there in the back. I have a strong devotion to him. I wanted to go and I wanted to see the starvation cell where he died. You recall that he gave up his life for a man who was married and had children. He offered to die for the other man. He died in defense of holy matrimony and the dignity of marriage. He died for the dignity of the human person. So I wanted to go and I wanted to pay homage. I wanted to see his starvation cell. And I made my way to the concentration camp. I got there to the starvation cell, and I was blown away when there in the starvation cell of St. Maximilian Kolbe was the Paschal candle burning. And that just rocked my world. Because as a Catholic understanding the symbolism of this Paschal candle, as you now understand the symbolism of this candle, I realized that what the Church was saying by that Paschal candle burning in that starvation cell, it was reminding us that all the hell that this man went through, the sufferings and the torture he went through, none of them had the last word. That Jesus Christ had triumphed even in that starvation cell. That hope had won over despair, even in Auschwitz. I remember a survivor telling me, I heard this firsthand, a survivor from the concentration camp told me that he remembers the day that Father Kolbe died. Because Auschwitz was hell. No one did anything. It was raw survival. And the story that one man would take the place of another, that one would be willing to be executed in order to spare another, was unheard of. In fact, they thought it was the Gestapo passing around a rumor in order to give false hope to mock the prisoners. And they realized that it was true. That someone had actually given up his life for another, had made a sacrificial act of love in the midst of the darkness of that camp. And they said he remembered that day. That was the day that Father Kolbe died. That was a celebration of hope, dear friends. Father Colby could do what he did because he saw the light of eternity. He understood what was right and good and true and noble. And he understood, this is not my home. And he was willing to carry any cross, even offer up his life for someone else, because he understood heaven is where hope is found. Heaven is what we're going for. Heaven and the light of eternity is how we understand this world. And there are so many Christians who are confused because they keep living as the unbeliever. They keep looking for the false heavens of this world. They keep trying to create the false heavens. Well, if I just have enough money, then everything will be okay. If I just get my health back, it'll be okay. If I just fix these relationships, everything will be okay. If the right political party was in the White House, everything would be okay. Lie, 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 lie. It's a fallen world. The only way this is going to be okay is when we turn to the living God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and reclaim the hope that has been won for us. The hope that is at the heart of our risen Savior. Dear friends, it is Easter. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has risen from the dead. We do not suffer the plague of the unbeliever. We have the hope of the Christian. Claim that hope, dear friends. In the midst of the fallen world, wherever God's providence has you, whatever sufferings God is permitting in your life, claim the hope of the risen Christ. Claim the hope that Jesus Christ has won for you.